Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. John chapter 2, verse 1. If you've been in church, or if you've been here at Coastline, this passage has been preached before, but the first miracle of Jesus Christ when he began his earthly ministry, John chapter 2 and verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Verse 4, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants withdrew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, verse 10, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Let's pray. We'll jump right in. Father God, we love you. We need you. We're grateful for you. Thank you for the singing so far, the worship so far. And Lord, I ask you to bless your people today. Lord, bless my voice today. Help it to remain strong enough to get through this sermon. God, you know my heart. Lord, any conflict, any tension, any distractions right now in the room, I speak the name of Jesus over it. Help us to focus, hone in. Lord, bless the kids' class right now as well. Nursery, sensory room, and your people here today. We love you. We need you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you know me, you know that I love to eat. I love to eat. I love talking about food. I love eating food. I actually love cooking food, making food. I just got, for Father's Day, some more tools for the Blackstone at her house. I've been making these killer smash burgers. Anybody ever have a smash burger before? Yes, they're amazing. And I'm getting pretty darn good at it. And I'm proud of myself. I love to eat. But one of the best parts of any meal, well, of dinner or things like that, is what comes after dinner. What comes after dinner? Come on, what comes after dinner?
A nap.
A nap, exactly. That is good. That's true as you get older. Dessert, though, is the correct answer. Dessert. Dessert. We just were on vacation with my wife and kids. We went to this place on one of the resort there at Disney, Peaches and Cream. It's like an ice cream, like a 1950s soda fountain ice cream place. And you can order this ice cream sundae called the Kitchen Sink, and they literally bring it out in like a little makeshift kitchen sink. And it's all the ice cream, all the toppings. It's about this big. It's like 12 scoops, and you can split it. It was pretty cool. And they brought it out, and man, it was delicious. It was awesome. My wife makes a mean key lime pie that is amazing. And listen, I may love what's cooked for dinner. And anything my wife cooks, I love. But I'll tell you, there is something special about dessert. I've heard people say, you know, hey, save your fork, you know, during dinner because something's coming after. Or they may say something like, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And that's the message today in our I Believe series. The title is this, I Believe, Church, the best is yet to come. Listen, I don't know where you're at in life right now. But let me tell you right now, listen to this truth, and we're going to see it in the Word of God. No matter what you are facing right now, I believe the best is yet to come. Jesus' first miracle that he performed in his earthly ministry was not at a synagogue or a church or on a mountaintop. It was at a simple wedding that he was invited to, him and his disciples. A joyful celebration that took a very stressful turn. I have been at weddings before when during the reception, things ran out. And let me tell you, it's a very stressful situation. Especially, I was one of the servers at a wedding. Just kind of helped, volunteered. And suddenly, with this group of 200-300 people, they ran out of soda. And then they ran out of salad. And I'll tell you, it was very stressful. And at this wedding, they ran out of wine. And in that culture, in that Jewish culture, that's a big deal. So we saw in the passage that Jesus' mother told him, and then the servants were told, and Jesus performed this miracle in this ordinary setting. Jesus quietly turned water into wine. Not just any wine, but the best wine, where the governor, the leader of the feast, literally made an announcement and said, normally they bring out the best stuff first and then the less good stuff later on, but you've saved the best for last. And this miracle, this factual account of Jesus' first miracle, yes, it's a wonderful story, not a true account of what Jesus did, but it's more than just an account of Jesus' first miracle. What this passage is for you and for me, because we were not that wedding, but what this miracle, what these verses, what these scriptures whisper to us in our lives. This story is a divine whisper through time where Jesus is saying to each one of us, when I'm involved, the best is yet to come. When God is involved, when Christ is involved in your life, in your situation, the best is yet to come. Life brings trials. Life brings heartaches. Life brings pain and loss and disappointment. I've experienced those things. You've experienced those things. Some of you right now in your life are experiencing pain or loss or disappointment. But let me tell you, in the middle of it all, church, in the middle of all that pain and heartache and loss and disappointment and confusion, Jesus is quietly turning water into wine. And through the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his burial in that empty tomb, and that resurrection where he walked out alive, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are promised this truth in life here on earth. We will make it. Amen. Hey, we will make it. And the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And in your life, maybe something feels a bit empty. Maybe right now in your life, something feels broken. Something feels confusing. Something feels lost. Your strength might be gone. Your spirit might have been brought low. Your hope may have been dashed. Maybe you're feeling that way this morning, but as we look at this passage in John 2, when we look and feel and experience the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, let this truth anchor your heart. With Jesus, the story isn't over. The story isn't over. Yes, at this wedding in Cana, the wine had run out. The groom and bride were about to be embarrassed. The parents that planned the meal were about to be embarrassed and possibly even mocked and ridiculed for not having the proper things for a wedding. But no, with Jesus, the story isn't over and the best is yet to come. Three things this morning and we'll be done. Three things and we'll be done. As we look at this passage and we think of this thought, the best is yet to come. Number one, the presence of Christ brings possibility. The presence of Christ brings possibility. When Jesus shows up, things begin to change. Things begin to change. John 2 and verse 2, both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Jesus was invited. And when Jesus shows up, things begin to change. Nothing changed until Jesus was invited to this wedding. His very presence brings possibility to hopeless situations. Without Jesus at that wedding, they would have run out of wine. And who knows what would have happened. But Jesus was there. And his presence brings possibility. Well, before he arrived, there was lack. There was limitation. There was nothing they could do. But with Jesus, when he entered, transformation began. The turning point, listen, the turning point in any trial begins when we invite Jesus Christ into the center of it. The turning point in any trial, any loss, any disappointment, any heartache is when we finally humble ourselves, stop trying to fix it on our own, and invite Jesus Christ into that problem, into that struggle. Maybe you're in a place right now where your joy has run out. Your joy has run out. Your peace has fled. Your purpose is unknown. Don't forget, Jesus is waiting to be invited in. Jesus is waiting for you to include him in your trial. He's always with us, but he's not going to force himself into your problems. He's waiting for you. His presence brings possibility. His presence can renew what has been depleted. He takes the emptiness and fills it. Our cups run over with his grace, what's been depleted. He'll bring life to what feels lifeless. Matthew 19, 26. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. 2 Corinthians 4, for our light affliction, the things we face, the trials we go through, they worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Grief and hardship and trouble can feel like an empty jar, but God, but Jesus Christ being involved in our lives, listen, he fills us with his glory. He fills us with his grace. His presence brings possibility. When he is, look, listen, when he's invited, when his presence is there, things begin to change. Things begin to change. John 2, verse 7 says, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water parts with water. And they brought him to the governor of the feast. Verse 10, the governor says, thou hast kept the good wine until now. Number 2, the power of Christ brings progress. Yes, the presence of Christ brings possibility, but the power of Christ brings progress. Jesus doesn't just fix things. He makes them better. Yes, sir. He doesn't just fix things and bring them back to what they were. No, he makes them better. He didn't just refill what was lost. He brought something better than it had been before. That's how he works. The best wine came last. Most people expect the best at the beginning. But with Jesus, the best often comes after the wait. After the trial. After the hardship, after the obedience when God is calling us to do something. His power brings progress. The miracles of Jesus Christ happen in the process. They happen in the middle. As the servants filled the pots with water, that's when the miracle happened. As they obeyed, the water became wine. Think about that. The power of Christ brings progress. You may not feel right now in your life as you're walking through your situation. You may not feel like anything is changing, like anything is working out. In fact, it may feel like everything is continuing to fall apart. I just had a conversation with a friend, and we're both going through stuff. And we both said, you know what? It's kind of crazy. I feel like lately, everything I pray for, the opposite happens. Everything I pray and ask God to do, with a heart of faith, with a heart that has seen him answer prayers before, I'm praying for these things, and the opposite is happening. It's not that he's not answering it. He is, but not what I asked him to do. And the enemy likes to try to use that and say, see, he doesn't really care about you. Listen, all the good reasons you had to pray that prayer, and God answered it the opposite of what you asked, Donald. You may feel like nothing's changing. But let me tell you, when you walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, when He is your Savior, your King, your Master, even during the trial, even during the problem, the struggle, the heartache, when we walk in obedience, Jesus is working in the background. Oh, He's doing something. He's working in the background. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Philippians 1, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, He is always in the background. It may not feel like anything is happening. There is no progress. Everything's just falling apart. But in the background, as you obey and walk in faith, we walk by faith, not by sight, right? We walk by faith, not by what we see around us. In the background, He is turning water into wine. The power of Christ brings progress. Progress in the Christian life often comes through pressure. Listen, progress in your Christian life, in your walk with God, progress often comes through pressure. But in trials, remember this. Oh, it feels like we are. In your trials, in your heartaches, in your disappointments, pains, and losses, we are not being buried. We are being built. We're not being buried. We're being built. God is at work in you right now. God is at work in the lives of the ones you love facing heartache and disappointment and struggle right now. God is building. He's growing us. He's giving us progress through the pain. We have to trust Him. The power of Christ brings progress. It brings progress. I've shared many times my testimony. Saved as a young boy and fell into the throes of addiction at a young age to pornography and things like that at a young age. Battled it for many years. Got victory, or I thought I got victory, right when I got married. And through pride and selfishness fell back into it before I ever moved here, and battled it for many years. And I would go to the altar at church meetings and services and teen camps that I'd bring our youth group to, and I knew I was battling it. Oh, I struggled with it so bad. And man, I felt so ashamed and worthless. And I'd say, God, remove this from me. Save me from this. But I never did what it took to really get help, which is come clean. Confess. I wanted to do it all myself so that nobody ever knew about it and I could die in my eyes a pure man and everybody else, but I really wasn't. And finally, God exposed this sin in my marriage before we moved here, and I thought everything was over. I really did. And I felt like, hey, I deserve this. I've been a liar, a cheat, a loser. I didn't keep my vows as a husband. And I said, man, this is it. But you know what God was doing in that pain? I call it painful grace, because it hurt like heck. And I hurt my wife like heck. But through the grace of God and the grace of that woman, God took that painful situation, my sin, but my confession, and in that trial, God made me a better man. God taught me things through my journey, taught us things through this journey. humbled me to the core. Did God want that to happen in my life? Of course not. But God can use those trials of life, whether they come to us unexpected or whether we create them like I did. And God can take those trials, turn those graves into gardens, turn that water into wine, turn those bones into army. And God took that trial in my life, took that journey, that painful journey to freedom, and changed my life forever. The power of Christ brings progress. Yes, it's painful. It's a painful process. Some of you are in that process right now. You are walking through a trial. Maybe that was thrust upon you. Maybe you created it yourself. I don't know. But you're walking that journey. And it hurts. But God is at work in your life. God is changing you, building you, renewing you, rebuilding what was broken down, restoring what was stolen. That's the God we serve. Progress in Christian life comes through pressure. Remember that as you walk through it. And lastly is this. The promise of Christ brings perspective. The promise of Christ brings perspective. We said the presence of Christ brings possibility and the power brings progress. And lastly, the promise of Christ brings perspective. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest proof that the best is yet to come. John 2:11, the end of this miracle, what does it say? This beginning of miracles did Jesus and manifested forth his glory. And manifested forth his glory. This miracle wasn't just about wine at a wedding. It was a sign pointing to something far greater, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was pointing forward. The wine points toward the blood that would be shed by the Lord Jesus Christ on a cross as he died for the sins of the world. The joy of the wedding points to that marriage supper of the Lamb where one day we'll sit and feast with Jesus in heaven. The miracle of this water into wine at this wedding in Cana points to a resurrection that would happen at a borrowed tomb 3 days after the Son of God would die on a cross. He'd walk out alive. It points to the gospel, the promise of eternal life only through Jesus Christ. Church, this world and all of its brokenness and all of its pain and all of its heartache, it's not the end. Thank God it's not the end. Our hope isn't limited to this life because of the cross, because of the empty tomb. We know that the best is not now, the best is ahead. One day we will worship at the feet of Jesus in a real place called heaven. You got to believe it, church. Yes, this world is full of heartache, but this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. Yes, I'll do my best as a child of God, as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus Christ to serve him with my life while I'm here. But guess what? I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ, with my loved ones. And that is why I believe the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, my friends. 1 Corinthians 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:9, I hath not seen nor ear heard the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Revelation 21, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. One day, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, what a day of rejoicing that will be. In Jesus, your past is forgiven, your present is meaningful, and your future is glorious.
Amen.
The promise of Christ brings perspective. Perspective. The trials we face now are just a blip on the radar. And believe you me, I know they're heavy. I know they don't seem like a blip on the radar right now. No, they're heavy. It's tough. But our future is secure in Jesus Christ. And by the way, so is our right now. We will make it.
Yes, sir.
We will make it. I guarantee it. Why? Because I'm so wise and knowledgeable? No, 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 not at all. Because I believe Jesus. When he said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But fear not, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. In life, the wine is going to run out. In life, the wine is going to run out. The celebration might turn to confusion in your life. What was comfortable and normal and felt safe is going to get turned upside down. And you are going to wonder, God, what exactly are you doing? The joy will dry up. The peace will flee. But Jesus is not finished. He's not done with you yet. He's still writing the story. His presence brings possibility. His power brings progress. His promise brings perspective. So no matter what season you're in your life, no matter what season you may be walking through right now, my friend, remember, Jesus is not finished. Jesus is not finished. This is not the end of your story. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. And because of Jesus, because of who he is, because of what I've seen him do, because of him, I believe the best is yet to come.
Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.